Your time trick is brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler with Chris Ronji and Brad Thompson. I'm Anthony Stalter. Let's head to the Brown & Crouppen Celebrity Line. We're joined by John Clayton, NFL insider with 710 Seattle ESPN. John, let's start off with the biggest news of the week, which was Cam Newton signing with the Patriots. Some have suggested that maybe it's a decoy and the Patriots just scoop up Cam Newton, but they still are big believers in Jared Stidham. How much truth is that, do you think, in your eyes?
Well, it's a total truth that he's a big believer in Jared Stidham, because I know that the year that Stidham was being drafted, and he's down at the senior, all the different scouting events, and he kept on talking him up to the different people when he was checking out. So there's a big belief in Stidham, but also I think the chance to pick up a former MVP quarterback who can change your offense and get you more into a running game, particularly in a year that you're not going to have any off-season program, I think was a great move. I mean, it's only going to be $1.2 million or less under the cap, so there's no real risk on his part for Bill Belichick. And then the great part for the offense is that and this could be Bill thinking through things a little bit, as you're going through and you're looking at the pandemic and you're having to revamp your team. You don't have Tom Brady. You take four key guys out of your defense, and then you come back and you start thinking, okay, now wait a second here. If I have an opportunity at the right price to get Cam Newton, run the football, play good defense, and try to do it that way, let's try to do it. Because the one thing we know Bill is starting to do now is that you build the defense from the defensive backfield to the front. That's why, for example, they started in 2017 with Stephon Gilmore in free agency, and they went to their Revis years ago, and so you get now more man-to-man, and then you try to not have to pay the pass rusher. That seems to work out, and so now you run the football, and that's the fact they picked up two tight ends in the third round of the draft. They have three, four running backs with Sony Michel and James White and all that. To me, that gives them the option in the crazy year that it is to be a defensive team that runs the football as opposed to a team that passes the ball all the time.
John, you mentioned being able to get Cam at the right price. I wonder what it looks like if Cam Newton is the guy this year. He does what many expect him to do. He has a lot of success. Then what does the future look like? Because then all of a sudden, after 1 year of success in New England, look, the price tag is going to go through the roof. I mean, what do you think the future looks like? If for a good year, if Cam Newton has a good year, what does it look like for him, and what does it look like for the Patriots? Because those two things might part ways.
Well, it looks better for the Patriots than it does probably Cam Newton, but certainly if he can go in there and win in New England, he's going to be at the forefront of the starting quarterbacks. But the problem is, how many teams are going to be looking for quarterbacks? It's not going to be as much as this year, because you still have half the league with their first-round picks or the other quarterbacks still in their rookie contracts. Other quarterbacks are pretty well established, and then the cap's not going to go up. You're not going to have that $10 million bump in the cap, and so what happens now is that the franchise tags will stay about the same, and so you can get more bargains than anything else. And so it's good for the Patriots because, number one, they didn't have the franchise tag involved in this. I mean, they can put the franchise tag on him if they wish. If not, they can let him go, and they're not going to get a third-round compensatory because he signed for less than the $1.75 million. But I think it's a good situation just for the Patriots because here you get a Pro Bowl talent and a good running quarterback, and if he's healthy, it all works out.
Meanwhile, for Kansas City, the looks like Chris Jones is totally prepared to hold out if he doesn't get the contract he wants. Is he going to have to?
I think so, yeah. Because here's the problem that they have, and this is the same problem that everybody else has, is that if the cap doesn't go up, and of course you can't do probably any deal at the moment until you realize where the cap is heading, and most teams are taking the position it's going to be a flat cap. Well, if that's going to be the case, and you have to get Patrick Mahomes to a $40, $35 million contract, it's going to be hard for the players to get their right values this year and maybe next year. And so, Chris Jones is 100% right in asking for $20.1 million. That's what the Forrest Buckner gets, and that's close to the talent that he has, and so he deserves it, but he's not going to be able to get it. And I think what we're seeing in Chris Jones and others is the beginning signs. It's like, okay, I recognize we're going to have a problem getting a contract, but I can hold out and just wait. And if I want to sacrifice the season, I'll sacrifice the season and get the money next year. Or what I'll do is I'll sacrifice training camp and see where it is at the beginning of the start of the season. And if there's you sign it then and come in and get the $16.1 million. So I think that, remember, Devontae Freeman did something similar. He has a number in mind. I think it's probably $8 million. He turned down $3 million on a one-year deal from Seattle and says, I'm not going to play if I don't get my number. And I think Jadeveon Clowney might be doing the same thing. He wants $17 million. And so, like you're seeing in baseball, you have players saying, you know what? I'm not going to go through this. I'll just wait till next year. I'm not going to risk my family to the virus. I'm not going to risk my body in training camp. And I'll just judge everything in August as opposed to now.
John Clayton of 710 ESPN in Seattle joining us right now in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. John, looking at the free agents that are still out there right now, let's talk about Antonio Brown. The Bucs continue to be steadfast in that they have no interest in the former Oakland Raider, Patriot, and Steeler. What are the chances that Antonio Brown winds up back in New England?
None. I can't see it happening. I think that he's burned his bridge there, and the fact that they had to part and there was grievances and everything else, there's no chance. And understand, Antonio's more of a July-August story, late July-August, because he's still being investigated by the league for two involvement with women, and he pleaded guilty to two assault charges with the moving van person, so you know he's going to get some kind of a suspension. You just don't know how long. And so nobody's going to take a chance on him now, and particularly knowing that depending on what you have as far as a team. Like, for example, Bruce Arians coached him when he was in Pittsburgh, and he knows what a diva he is, and a diva to a point where you've got the best two wide receiver tandem in football in Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, and now you're going to bring in Antonio Brown, who's going to be expecting 130, 140 targets. Well, that's not happening in the two tight end offense that they have in Tampa. And remember, they're running a two tight end offense, not a three receiver offense. So it's not a fit situation in Tampa that works out. Seattle is looking at him, but they won't do anything until August because, again, they got to see if he's a suspension, and he can probably get Josh Gordon back if he gets cleared from suspension himself. So, really, I think the Antonio story is more for the future. It's definitely not in the present.
John, when Tom Brady moved on from New England, many looked right away and said, all right, well, this is the Bills' opportunity. This is Josh Allen's opportunity specifically to show that he is the class of this division. He's the guy. It's time for him to make that step forward. Now, maybe things change a little bit with Cam Newton in the fold, but still a lot of eyeballs on Josh Allen. When you look at Allen, what does a step forward look like for him? I mean, what does he need to show?
He needs to show that he can get the ball deeper downfield and also to get things started earlier in games. The one thing he's shown, he's been good in fourth quarter comebacks. He had about five or six in the last couple of years, and he's got one of the strongest arms in football, but he's not been as accurate on getting things deep. But also understand that they've totally revamped the wide receiving core. Last year they added a good slot receiver in Cole Beasley, a speedy guy in John Brown. Now this year they get Stephon Gilmore to a point where Pro Football Focus rated that receiving core wide receiver as the fifth best in the league. But you're also talking Josh Allen, who's only averaged 17.5 points a game in any game that he started. Now, he's won 15 of them, and he's lost 8, but he's got to get more than 17 points a game if he's going to be getting a contract extension. But he has been to the playoffs twice, and he is good in fourth quarter comebacks, and he's got a great mentality. Sometimes he does too much at the end of games to win, but I think he can learn through that. But he's got talent at receiver now.
J.C. Treader was interviewed by USA Today, and he was talking about just trying to get onto the field and trying to make sure a season happens for the NFL, the virus being an issue for them as they try to get some protocols in place. And his quote was, there are a lot of questions unanswered, and even when you do come up with an answer, it brings up three more questions. So he seems to be casting a lot of doubt on what's happening. Is there much doubt? Globally, when it comes to the league and them thinking they can put something together safely and get a season going?
No, I think they can put something together safely, because the plan right now is to get everything started between the 25th of July and the 29th of July, and I don't see that changing. But again, just like John Harbaugh brought up a couple weeks ago, it is a case where you start to see, you look at one thing, you look at another. Like, for example, look what's happened in the last 24 hours, the league would like to do, and coaches would like to do, is have rookies come in, some of the rookies come in, and some of the veteran quarterbacks to come in and have a little bit of a rookie minicamp, which wouldn't be a bad idea, because what you can do is that then you can look at the guys that you haven't seen, of the undrafted guys, take the roster down to 80 players or 75 players, making it a little bit easier and letting those guys become eligible for a practice squad that you have to build up between 12 and maybe eventually 16. That wouldn't be a bad idea, but then look what's happened in 24 hours. New York and Massachusetts, and I'm sure other states, if you're coming from the four big states that are having the major problems right now, you know, whether it's Texas or Florida or California or Arizona, I mean, you have to have a 14-day quarantine. Well, if you have a 14-day quarantine, is that going to fit with what the players can do and all that? And so that becomes a little bit of a problem. That's why, I mean, every day something happens to make it look shaky. But again, the plan right now, and I think the plan is going to continue, they're going to start training camp at the right time, see about the mini, see about that extra camp, and then cut two preseason games down and see if they can play two.
John, good stuff as always. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week. Have a happy and safe 4th of July weekend.
Hey, same to you guys.
Thank you. That's John Clayton, 710 ESPN in Seattle.